exploding into the zeitgeist in 2014 with their debut work, Heat and Light, Ellen van Nieuwen hasn't slowed down. They've worked on and produced some immensely powerful works, including their newest poetry collection, Throat, which this year took home the Book of the Year at the New South Wales Premier's Literary Awards. This month, Ellen's dedication to writing and mentorship has again been rewarded. They've been announced as a Sydney Meyer Creative Fellow. Ellen is one of four First Nations recipients of the fellowship, and they spoke with Away's Jerome Commissari about all the things this fellowship will allow them to do.
I've been speaking to a few people who've received this fellowship and just getting their advice, and they're basically saying enjoy it and be aware that, you know, you could go in a different direction than what you thought. For example, I think that the arts, you know, because it's an industry, it's really kind of centered around producing things. So like in my case, being a writer, it'll be like, well, when's your next book coming out? Where I'm sort of thinking that I would like to pay attention to not the product itself, but the process. So drawing the process out and trying to enjoy it and not feeling that pressure to keep producing things. I plan on really paying attention to my surroundings and kind of trusting my instincts. So if that means that I just go for a 3-day bushwalk or something like that, something that I wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to if I was just working full time. And there's a couple of projects that I have on the go, like this nonfiction project that I've been working on for 6 years, plus two theatre works that I've been working on and a poetry collection.
You've clearly got a bit on the boil there. And just to be clear what you're alluding to there, the fellowship's not tied to any outcomes. So the Sydney Meyer Creative Fellowship, you know, there's no book you need to produce. There's no body of work that belongs to a publisher or another party. And what I'm getting from what you're saying there is you think that this is a positive way to do this.
Absolutely. I think that's what's so incredible about this. You know, there's no expectation, there's no ties, there's no commitment. It's really just the fellowships and the people that organize the fellowship and the peers who assessed it basically saying, like, we believe in you, we believe in your work, we think it's important, and we're going to support you rather than support a particular project. And I think that's really important, especially for like First Nations artists. There's often an expectation that you're going to make a work that's going to do something that's going to serve an institution, or, you know, like there's always these kind of hidden expectations on First Nations artists to produce a type of work that perhaps the real way moving forward is to just be like, do whatever you're drawn to. And maybe that's working in a genre that nobody expects you to work in, and sort of like try and break barriers through doing that kind of work. As supportive as some arts institutions can be, the people that own these institutions and benefit from these institutions are often not First Nations people. So to sort of have some sort of independence from institutions and to be able to create work independently of that, you know, for me to be like, I'm not tied down to any sort of outcome. My publishers, obviously, I get on with, I have a supportive relationship with them, but to be able to work outside of that and be like, well, maybe I want to write something that's not going to go down the traditional route of publishing. For example, maybe I just want to explore different ideas. So I think I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's almost like readjusting my own expectations and my own ideas of how I would normally work.
It sounds like an incredible opportunity. And as you alluded to before, you have a lot going on. But have you in the past benefited from outcomes-based selection or from having deadlines, or was it always stressful, or, and was it always an issue?
That's a really good question, Jerome, because I think I have benefited from deadlines and really kind of fast turnovers. And, for example, there could be a certain time where a publisher says, you know, like, we're wanting to contract this, you know, you have to have the first draft or the second draft or whatever it be by this day. And that can be really beneficial, I think, to have, you know, something to aim towards. The same, you know, the same in the play that I'm working on. The first draft is due January next year. The second draft is due June. The third draft is due in October next year. So it's a bit of a roadmap for me to kind of, you know, because I think sometimes we can get distracted. So I think I definitely benefit from both. Actually, my two poetry books came together pretty quickly in terms of, I think they took me about 3 years to write both of them, and they definitely were aided by having a bit of a roadmap to, yeah, it gives me a little sense of, like, I think I'd probably spend about half of that time not even really writing, but just absorbing and researching and getting ideas. And then you have an idea of okay, the poem is due soon, so I better get something on paper.
I better actually put the pen to the paper or the hands to the keyboard.
exactly. Yeah.
So I guess it's not a one size fits all process, but no doubt the Sydney Meyer Creative Fellowship will give you boundless options to explore things that you'd like. So after you burst onto the scene with your collection of short stories, Heat and Light, did you imagine you'd be in this position?
No, I don't think so. It's really interesting because Heat and Light came out in 2014. You know, it would have been about 10 years ago now, in 2011, that I would have started writing this work. I had no idea of what I would not have known that I would be here 10 years later. I think Heat and Light I wrote without any expectations of what, you know, what was going to happen. I was just writing for the sake of writing. I actually got a lot of enjoyment writing that work, and then, you know, it's meant so much to so many people. I think there's definitely luck involved. Definitely just came out at the right time, because it's not a standard novel. It's got this element of, like, it's kind of like got three, it's like three books in one, you know. It's doing something really unusual with genre, and I think, and there's also a futuristic novella in the middle of the work.
There's a sci-fi element to it. Yeah, I described it as a collection of short stories before. That's not true, but you know what I was getting at. It's narratively, it's not quite a novel. And yeah, the sci-fi breakaway, it's fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, and that book was launched through the David Unipon Award, which has launched you know, many writers' careers. And what's incredible about that prize is it's open to any genre. I just thought, well, I'll give it a go. And yeah, for me, that work was very much me trying to sort of set my mark on the world. And I did that. And then once the first work is out of the way, there's a sense of, well, what's next? The thing is, I want to go back to fiction. And this is something that the Sydney Meyer Fellowship will allow me to do. You know, I'm not sure if it's the same for everyone, but to write a sustained long-form fiction piece requires a lot of focus.
I can only imagine.
And I just haven't been able to have that focus over the last little while. The thing about fiction is it's so open, and I think a lot of my recent work has really been about responding to the times. But what fiction allows is you don't have to respond to something that happened, you know, right away, because the way that it's going to work is it's going to be published many years later. So it's almost about creating like a reset, like creating, you know, like creating a new world, something that's like not even part of the world that we're in now. Yeah, it can be really quite transformative.
Will 2 years be long enough?
No, it won't be, but it'll be a good start.
It'll definitely be a good start. Hey, stepping back a little bit from you, Ellen, 4 First Nations people have been granted the fellowship this year. Jankara Ken, Eric Avery, Alison Murphy Oates, and of course you. How did that make you feel? Because there's only 9 fellows and 4 are First Nations. What did you think about that?
Well, that was the best news. That was better news than knowing that I received one myself, because I was very nervous that I might have been one of the only one out of the 9 that was First Nations. I actually had a phone call with Ali and we were just sort of like screaming down the phone at each other because we were both just so happy for each other. And so I feel more of a sense of pride, hope, and fulfillment knowing that, you know, I'm not just the only First Nations artist that has been supported. And I think the 9 of us are going to go through this really amazing journey together, and it would be just really great to see. I also point out that a lot of us make quite political work, so I think that's really important as well. This type of art is being recognised.
Ellen, you've said you've got many plans, you know, you've got a play, you've got poetry, you've got aspirations to write another novel. What would people maybe be seeing from Ellen van Nieuwen in the next couple of years? Do you have any illusion as to what that might be?
I just realised I said that I'm going to do a lot of things.
You did.
I think my next book will be the non-fiction book. It's sort of about the relationship between land and sport and gender. So it's sort of collecting pieces that I've written over a 6-year period, but also some really new work that kind of ties it together. And I think that will be out in a few years, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood. And that's, I have a working title for that work and it's called Personal Score.
Mulunjali Yugambeh writer Ellen van Nieuwen there, speaking with A Ways to Roam commissary.